This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. An Air India plane on its way to Gatwick Airport, crashing seconds after taking off in the Indian city of Ahmedabad. The neighborhood in flames earlier this morning. ABC Transportation reporter Sam Sweeney with more on the crash itself.
This was not a nosedive. This plane had just taken off. We've seen videos circulating on social media showing it almost looks like it's landing. It's coming down at roughly 500 feet per second on a glide scope, so not a nosedive. The landing gear was still down. This signifies some sort of loss of power. And of course, we now know that the captain did make some sort of a mayday call, but then that was it.
The plane, a Boeing 787 Dreamliner, and this, the first Dreamliner crash in history. There were 242 people on board at the time of the crash. Indian authorities are leading the investigation, but could reach out to the NTSB. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A government watchdog group in Wisconsin has filed a lawsuit seeking to prohibit billionaire Elon Musk from ever again offering cash payments to voters in the battleground state like he did in this spring's hotly contested Supreme Court race. The lawsuit was filed in state court on Wednesday by the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. It says that Musk violated prohibitions on vote bribery and unauthorized lotteries. It also asks the court to order that he never do it again. The Iowa County Communications Center received a report of a motorcycle crash Tuesday afternoon around 1:40. The crash occurred on Clyde Road in the township of Clyde. The Lone Rock Fire Department, Lone Rock EMS, and Iowa County Sheriff's deputies responded to the scene. UW MedFlight landed near the accident scene and transported one occupant to a Madison hospital for treatment of injuries sustained in the crash. Milwaukee leaders say their support for traffic cameras to combat reckless driving. Proposed legislation at the Capitol would let the city implement a pilot program for automatic traffic safety cameras currently prohibited by state law. State Senator Dora Drake says these would not be a cash cow and that legislators are focused on ensuring that people's lives are protected, that they are safe, and that the city and law enforcement have the tools necessary to keep the community safe. Mayor Cavalier Johnson says residents are fed up with reckless drivers and the city needs every tool at its disposal in order to hold them to account. A statewide AAA survey last year found majorities in support of speed and red light cameras, which are allowed in 29 other states. Johnson also said he'll sign an ordinance giving police broader authority to deal with street takeovers. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Bombs away at minicamp. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Where the Packers held minicamp practice, a 70-yard bomb from quarterback Jordan Love to wide receiver Mecole Hardman for a touchdown. Hardman won 3 Super Bowls with the Chiefs, but struggled while with the Jets. I asked him what he hoped for here in Green Bay.
The new opportunity, you know, I think it's one of those, like, fresh starts. And, you know, the Packers just, you know, welcomed me with, you know, open arms and giving me the opportunity to go out there and showcase my skills. And, you know, it's good enough for me. And I just got to go out there and take advantage of it.
NBA Finals. The Pacers beat the Thunder 116-107 to go up 2-1 in the best-of-7 series. The Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton.
There's going to be ebbs and flows. So seeing where I could be better is important through the first 2 games and just trying to be better today.
Baseball. Brewers rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski makes his major league debut tonight against the Cardinals. His fastball has been clocked at 103 miles per hour. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 83 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, a few scattered showers and thunderstorms with a low in the upper 50s. Tomorrow, more of the same, scattered thunderstorms with some locally heavy rain and a high in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Does President Trump have legal authority to send in troops when the governor doesn't ask for it? Jim Santel will break that down. Also, Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlone. We talk sports with J.R. Ratcliffe. Don't miss
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. News from the Center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Thursday morning, June 12th. But I'm so confused. I'm so confused about the comment sections today. And I'll explain for Brittany Merlot and Chad Holmes, who join us here in just a sec. We'll also be talking to Sean O'Malley, talking about your money and the markets. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki as well. We have a bittersweet weather anniversary to talk about today, too. First, a reminder that tomorrow we will be visiting with Judge Chris Taylor, a candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court in April of next year. It's quite likely she'll be taking on conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley, who we expect to be running for another 10-year term. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will join us for part of that interview as well. And, of course, we'll have all of our regular Week in Review panelists talking about the headlines of the past week. All that and more coming up, including more from Chad Holmes at 98.9 WXCO and Brittany Merlot's updated forecast for us. But first, gang, what's happening in my comment sections? This is so left field from somebody who put on there just out of the yoga is a religion that sprang forth from the corrupt roots of sexual depravity in the 1960s.
Sure.
That's it. That's the post.
Okay.
I'm just so confused.
Just like, because you can say it doesn't mean you need to.
Sometimes yes. It's like your indoor voice. Sometimes you use your in-head voice. Just keep it in there because we haven't talked about yoga, religion, or cultural depravity. So not yet anyway, but now I got some ideas.
Oh boy.
All right.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow takes a turn.
Brittany, you go first. Let's talk about the weather system here that's going to be a bit of a pipeline for rainy weather over the next few days.
I'll tell you what. First, I'm going to start with yoga by the beach.
Yeah, no, amazing. No. Got to move along.
Moving on. Okay. Well, we hit 90s yesterday. That's some beach weather. Now we're sitting at about 50 to 65 degrees across the state. We've got a lot of clouds out there. Also, rain starting to push in from La Crosse to about the Madison area, scraping there. That is going to continue to lift north. So central area is still looking at chances of rain this afternoon. And then tonight, it will be kind of heavy into northern parts of the state, continuing into tomorrow, too, where we could see an inch or two in portions of northwest Wisconsin. Otherwise, a majority of the state is looking around half an inch to maybe an inch of rain. But this system will continue to drop south as we go through Friday afternoon. So southern areas, again, more scattered showers and storms sparking up. That'll linger till Saturday morning before we finally get a dry day on Saturday. Or I'm sorry, Sunday, but it doesn't last long because Monday and Tuesday, the heat and humidity start to seep back in and more showers and storms start to fire up. So a wet next few days ahead. It is cooler as we go through the rest of this week. The heat and humidity hold off until next week. But again, yes, a lot of rain rolling through starting today.
So we're going to get the rain, but not we're not looking at anything that has severe potential to it.
No, right? Not until next week. Next week, probably.
That's all right, because today, this is the anniversary of the New Richmond tornado. It was on this day in 1899 when an estimated F5 tornado formed in the early evening and tore a 45-mile path of destruction through St. Croix, Polk, and Barron counties, causing 117 deaths. And to this day, it remains the ninth deadliest tornado in U.S. history, as well as the deadliest ever recorded in Wisconsin. Now, admittedly, we don't have nearly the forecasting and warning capabilities that we do now, but I mean, we've certainly seen our share of F5s. We know that tornadoes can go on for miles and miles and miles. So even if you hear a tornado warning in a nearby county, you can't just dismiss it and go, well, that's just them. It won't get to us, Brittany. These things still are, they're not fully predictable, as we well know.
No. And if you think about this, I mean, this is what, over 100 years ago, and the population wasn't nearly where we are now. And, you know, rolling through that town, New Richmond took a direct hit, and they had a circus going on and everybody was in town. But the really amazing part about it is a lot of people decided to stay and rebuild, which really shows a lot about Wisconsin and the communities and how much we love our areas. So that's really cool. And even, you know, it was so long ago, it was considered an F5. Those winds were over 200 miles per hour. So that is still today considered in our enhanced Fujita scale at an EF5. So a very strong, massive, deadly tornado. They usually don't stay on the ground for that many miles, 45 miles. They're usually on the ground for a couple or so. Yes. While we may see a lot of weaker tornadoes more often, these stronger ones are possible. They do happen in our state. And not to mention, we're seeing that tornado alley, the classic tornado alley, shift further north and further east. That means into Wisconsin.
Yeah, all the more reason to be paying attention to your local forecast throughout the day here on your favorite Civic Media stations. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Let's turn to Chad Holmes now from 98.9 WXCO, who's been busy covering some postseason sports for us. You've been on the road already this week.
Yeah, I went off to Augusta on Tuesday. Nice drive, you know, about 90 minutes or so. See the Pat Kreitlow part of the world. And but no, it was fun. And actually now the high school aspect of my season is over. So little sad. I got to count up the game. I'm actually going to do that here the next day or two to count up how many I did for the 2024-2025 season. Because I really don't know. Some people keep counts of that. I've never done that, but I'm going to try to figure it out.
See, I have to do that because otherwise, because I'll get curious. I'll want to go back and wonder about it. So, no, I do. So I let me scroll up to the top of my notes here. Today is morning show number 580.
I admire you that you've been able to keep track of that, because actually I thought about this because the other night I was watching the Stanley Cup and one of the broadcasters, Eddie Olczyk, and they said, congratulations, Eddie, this is your 1,000th national TV broadcast. And I thought, man.
But you know, they weren't keeping track. You know, some poor intern had to go back through all the records.
There you go. That's what I need. I need an intern. That's exactly what you need.
Parker? we have
full time. Dang it!
Okay. Sorry about that. Here's an interesting story that I saw in both of the Wausau news outlets, the Herald and the Pilot and Review. Mm-hmm. The remains of an unknown World War I soldier have been exhumed in Wausau for DNA identification. Did not realize that in that area there is a grave that's marked an unknown soldier. And you think, well, how in Wausau? This doesn't make sense. What it was the backstory was this was a soldier who died by suicide in, I think, the 1930s it was, left, and nobody knew who he was. And he didn't leave any word. And so the rest of his family could never be notified. He just said that he was a World War I veteran. And so now through DNA technology, they maybe will be able to find relatives and understand who that is. Which I have to say, Chad, I kind of go both ways on the whole notion of the unknown soldier, that's there are simply people who never come home, and that person is symbolic of that. On the other hand, you get that sense of closure. So I'm sure a lot of folks in Wausau noticed that and were kind of chatting about it.
Well, and yeah, it's been noticed. And also kind of a big picture thought when I came across that is that during this era where technology is just moving at just the speed of light, speed of sound, whatever you want to say, that there are still aspects that are good, because I hate AI. I hate where it's going. I hate a lot of the technology. I hate the fact that that everybody is so into this technology that is not making humanity better. It's taking away, I think, creativity and opportunities. But in this case, yes, that would be something that, hey, it's wonderful to have the idea of being able to have that sense of closure. And it's, you know, and it's a very... You think back, you know, sometimes you think back to World War One, back to the 19-teens, 20s, and then 30s, where this person committed suicide, and how the world has just changed in ways that are beyond fathom. And I think a lot of the issues are that we're seeing nowadays is because it's almost impossible, I think, for us as human beings to put our arms around the way that things are changing so very quickly. And it's, and sometimes I lie in bed and I think way too much about this kind of stuff.
You do. You think about this technology a lot. I have alluded to this story before, and I'm going to do it again because I can't give particulars for obvious reasons here. But we all know that there are all these stories about how these ancestry kits, you know, 23andMe and all these other DNA kits are leading to some interesting revelations, you know, people who weren't really their father and things like that. And I've got a friend who realized, you know, again, he was in his 60s by the time this happened. He, as a baby, was actually switched in the hospital and was raised by the people who weren't his biological parents, as was the other person as well. And again, would never have known that if it were not for today's technology and DNA tests, which, again, cut both ways. It was very shocking, but he also enjoyed, you know, meeting new family in this case. So, again, you have to be very mindful of the impact of all of these things that you're doing out there. But it's nice to know that I'm not the only curmudgeon out there when it comes to these things like AI. And I mean, I'm seeing things on my social media feed that, again, they look like very realistic videos, and they're not real. And, you know, they do have the potential to inflame. I mean, somebody else said it, not me, but if ever there's a war between like India and Pakistan, it's probably going to be over some kind of an AI video that people took, you know, the wrong way and thought, oh, there's an attack going on and we have to attack back or something like that. So I can't agree with you enough about the precautions that need to go into this stuff.
And I just think generally, I mean, as we go through our journeys of life, that there are so many different ways that we are able to show creativity and show, you know, even our work lives. I mean, are we all going to be just, you know, screwing in for those iPhones? I mean, I fear for that. I fear because, I mean, you know, you could set it up real fast. One thing that in this business, starting in the fall, NBC is returning with the NBA. They have a new contract, TV contract. What they're going to do is, they had this iconic voice that would say, "This is the NBA on NBC." Well, that gentleman has died. But through the miracle of AI, that guy's going to be the voice of the NBA on TNT, on NBC again. And I just think that's wrong on every level. I mean.
You're not talking about Marv Albert.
No, but okay. The guy who did the voiceovers.
Oh, you know? The guy who did the voiceover. Because I was going to say, Marv Albert is very much alive. It's his 84th birthday today. So I want to make sure we weren't offing poor Marv.
But you remember the last Olympics, NBC did this highlight package every single day of the Olympics and used the voice of Al Michaels through AI.
But it wasn't Al Michaels,
It wasn't Al Michaels.
No.
But I mean, like, are we all going to be just basically service folks in the future?
Well, there are people who think, and others are kind of embracing that and saying, well, it's going to happen anyway, so let's you know, do this. Here's the thing. We'll end it on the Trump big bloated boondoggle budget bill, is that when some Republicans found out that contained in that bill is a restriction that states would not be allowed to regulate AI for 10 years, I mean, honest, Marjorie Taylor Greene and I agree on something. She was the first one out of the gate saying, I'd never voted for this bill if that was in. It's definitely coming out.
Who put that in, though? That's the question.
That's
Who
the thing.
Put we, that in?
Yep. And, you know, what were they getting out of it. So thanks again for joining us for a couple of old men afraid of technology. And now we're going to be calm and move on. Chad Holmes here on 98.9 WXCO. And we will talk to you a little later. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right. Still ahead, Sean O'Malley about your money in the markets and Joe Zepecki from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Summer, summer, summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes?
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by US Aging.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Joanne Krulotz, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction announced 98 schools statewide have earned Wisconsin Schools of Recognition honors for the 2023-24 school year. These awards celebrate the exceptional efforts of educators, students, families, and school staff in ensuring educational success for all students, especially among those facing economic challenges. The Schools of Recognition program recognizes Title I schools for making significant strides in student growth and achievement. After a pause due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the DPI has resumed highlighting excellence in education. Schools were honored in one or more of the following categories. 15 schools were recognized as high achieving. These schools rank in the top 10% statewide for academic achievement in reading and mathematics and demonstrate small or closing achievement gaps. 24 schools were recognized as high progress schools. These schools show significant growth in student outcomes or graduation rates with measurable progress in closing gaps. And 70 schools were recognized high-impact schools. High-impact schools serve a high percentage of economically disadvantaged students. These schools have above-average achievement when compared to similarly situated schools. Recognized as a high-impact and high-progress school is the Richland Center Intermediate School. Recognized as a high-progress school is the Lafarge Elementary School. Recognized as high-impact schools are Al Berman Elementary School in Baraboo, Boscobel Elementary School, Bluffview Middle School, and Prairie du Chien High School in the Prairie du Chien Area School District, Riverdale Elementary and Junior High Schools, Lake Delton Elementary School and Spring Hill Elementary School in the Wisconsin Dells School District, and Waniwox Center Junior High School. To be eligible for any award, schools must receive federal Title I funding, meet or exceed expectations on the most recent school report card, not be currently identified for comprehensive targeted or additional targeted support and improvement, be above the bottom 20% statewide for chronic absenteeism and achievement, and meet or exceed 95% test participation across all students. This summer, Mies Construction Incorporated of Sauk City will move approximately 15,000 cubic yards of fill material from the Richland County Road O project to the 40-acre parcel owned by the Richland Hospital and Clinics. Area residents may recall that TRHC purchased the parcel along Highway 14 in Richland Center as the location for a new hospital facility. In November of 2023, due to rising construction costs, TRHC Board of Directors decided to pause that project with intentions to build a new facility on the parcel as early as 2032. When a new facility build becomes financially feasible for TRHC, it is estimated that contractors will need 35,000 cubic yards of fill material for the site. While the site is not in the floodplain, experts recommend it's still desirable to raise the building site. The fill being hauled by Mies Construction Incorporated is about 50% of the anticipated need. Soil testing has been performed on the fill from the Richland County Road O project, and reports are favorable. In addition to delivering fill to the TRHC site, contractors will install silt fence and plant a cover crop. As evidenced by this and previous area road projects, TRHC continues to work with Richland County and the City of Richland Center to prepare the site for development with the understanding that groundbreaking is years in the future. Meanwhile, due to the unexpected delay in the new facility build, TRHC board members directed the completion of several deferred maintenance and repair projects at the existing hospital facility, which are currently underway. It's rodeo time again in Richland Center when the 66th Wisconsin High School Rodeo State Finals are held at the Richland County Fairgrounds through Sunday. The four-day event kicks off Thursday with the shooting competition. Gary Deaver is the president of the Richland Center Rodeo Committee.
You can enter the rodeo either light rifle or trap or both, and several kids do. We have like 12 light rifle and about the same amount in trap shoot. We come up here to the Pine River shooting range up on Cooper Hill, and they do the light rifle at 10 o'clock on Thursday morning. And then at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the kids go down at the Muscadet Sportsman's Club for the trap shoot. It's excellent that these people step up and let us do that and help us out.
The shooting competition gives more youth, especially those that don't have farms to practice riding horses on, the opportunity to be a part of the rodeo.
If you're going to be a contestant, of course, you have horses, but you don't have to. They have a national competition, which is in Rock Springs, Wyoming, July 13th and 19th. So like every event, you qualify in shooting. You go out there and compete with all the other folks.
Thursday night will feature the Rodeo Queens Contest at 7 in the H Connection Building. Friday and Saturday night, the rodeo competition will be held in the grandstand area. Special instructions will be at 7 and performances will start at 7:30 Friday night. We'll also be Wear Pink for Grace Night. Saturday morning, the June Dairy Days and Rodeo Parade will step off at 10:30 in downtown Richland Center. Cowboy Church will be held Sunday morning at 8:30, and then the finals will be held with special introduction at 11:30 and performances at noon. Also on Sunday, the winner of the Queen Contest will be announced before the noon performance. Gate cost will be $7 Friday and Saturday and $9 Sunday for adults 18 to 59, $7 Friday and Saturday and $8 Sunday for senior citizens 60 and older and students 13 to 17, and $4 for children 6 to 12 for all three performances. Children under 6 are admitted free. Advance tickets for Friday and Saturday's performances are a dollar less for adults, senior citizens, and students. They can be purchased at Creative Layers until noon Friday. Advance tickets will also be available at the Fairgrounds Building H on Friday from 8:30 until noon. Be sure to attend the 66th Wisconsin High School Rodeo State Finals this weekend at the Richland County Fairgrounds. For more information, you can contact Kenda at 608-475-1886.
You've been listening to WRCE's local news on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Wisconsin Challenge Academy celebrated the graduation of more than 100 cadets. The ceremony in Mauston marked the completion of a rigorous 22 weeks of cadets. The Challenge Academy's structured military-style program emphasizes academic improvement, physical fitness, leadership, development, and life skills. The program is operated by the National Guard and is for at-risk youth struggling to succeed in traditional high school settings. A UTV operator sustained life-threatening injuries in a rollover crash. Tuesday morning at approximately 9:10, the Sauk County Dispatch Center received a report of a UTV rollover crash with ejection on Coon Bluff Road, north of County Road P in the town of Delona. It was reported that the operator of the UTV was unconscious and had suffered a serious head injury. Initial responding emergency personnel located the UTV with extreme damage laying on its side on the east side of Coon Bluff Road, with the female operator having been ejected approximately 30 yards from where the UTV came to rest. The operator was transported from the scene with life-threatening injuries by MedFly to a hospital in Madison. The name of the operator is being withheld at this time as the investigation is ongoing. Initial investigation showed that the UTV was southbound on Coon Bluff Road and attempted a passing maneuver on another vehicle. The operator entered the ditch and overcorrected, causing the UTV to roll over several times. The operator was not wearing a seatbelt and was ejected from the UTV. Speed and operator inexperience are believed to be factors in the crash. The roadway was closed for several hours due to this incident, and the incident remains under investigation by the Wisconsin DNR. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Many birthdays in one's life are milestones. There is turning 10, which is double digits, 21, you can get into bars legally, and 35, you can be president. For actress Elizabeth Hurley, turning 60 means she gets to post a pic on social media appearing in her literal birthday suit. That's right, naked at 60 and on social media are words that are typically abhorrent at best, but not for 0.00001% of the population, and that is Elizabeth Hurley and probably three other people. Hurley has starred in such films as Charlie's Angels, Austin Powers, and of course, Christmas in the Caribbean. This birthday story gets a little weirder when her son commented on the photo saying, "Happy birthday, Mama." So sweet. Again, probably 0.0001% of kids that wouldn't be mortified at a naked picture of a 60-year-old parent on Instagram. And to make things even weirder, and before you think you might have a shot, fellas, she's dating Billy Ray Cyrus, who calls her the love of his life. Who else has an achy breaky heart right now? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 83 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, a few scattered showers and thunderstorms with a low in the upper 50s. Tomorrow, more of the same, scattered thunderstorms with some locally heavy rain and a high in the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Matt Nair on air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, "You're going the wrong way." And Candy and Steve Martin go, "Ha, ha, ha, how do they know where we're headed?" Congress and the administration are saying, "This is what we're going to do for our budget." But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome beauty queen and security expert Jenna Watkins. And then we grill pizza in the studio with Papa John's owner, Danny Bim. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Hey, don't forget, Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network. You can find what we do over at couriernewsroom.com. And if you head over there, you'll see all kinds of newsletters and podcasts. One of the newsletters by Melissa Ryan is called Control-Alt-Right-Delete. It's a weekly newsletter devoted to covering the rise of far-right extremism, white nationalism, disinformation, and online toxicity. And then there's also How Is This Better?, a new Courier production podcast video from Akilah Hughes, covering everything from politics to entertainment to tech and late-stage capitalism. There is a new episode now on Mark Zuckerberg and how he once wanted to talk about making the world more open and connected, but is now doing all kinds of things that do anything but. How Is This Better?, a Courier podcast from Akilah Hughes. You can find over at Courier Newsroom. com. Let's continue our conversation now with Sean O'Malley. Now that the markets have opened for the day, Sean, we know we've talked earlier about some of the market volatility, shall we say. You had a consumer price index reading that came out recently. So, Sean, what can you tell us about the latest on the CPI and also on non-farm payroll, the jobs picture?
Yeah, that's a good introduction, Pat. Thanks. So we had the non-farm payroll number announced last Friday. It's always announced the first Friday of every month. So for May, the jobs number came out at 138,000 jobs. Typically between 100 and 150,000 is considered sort of treading water. So no big changes. It's not great. It's okay. Unemployment remains steady at 4.2%, according to those numbers. And then yesterday, we had the announcement of the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. And that the expectations were for it to go up about 0.3%. However, it only went up 0.1%. And ironically, one of the things they mentioned specifically is that due to lower fuel costs, that was one of the dampening effects of that relatively moderate CPI number. Now you've got inflation tracking at about 2.4%. So fairly, modest numbers across the board, nothing that's earth shattering. The low inflation number did help yesterday's 10-year Treasury note auction go fairly well. So we're seeing bond yields start to level off and kind of stop with as much volatility as we have seen in the recent past.
All right. Always appreciate the update on how our money is affected by the markets and the news that comes out of Washington, D.C. and elsewhere. Sean O'Malley, good to catch up as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Pat.
All right. Thank you. Let's see. It's 8:38 right now. Again, a reminder, Brewer baseball against the Cardinals. 6:05 is the pregame on several Civic Media radio stations. And that would include tonight the major league debut for the Brewers of minor league pitching phenom right-hander Jacob Mizorowski. A lot has been said about that. So let's bring in Brewers pitching phenom expert Joe Zepecki with more about that. Joe, is this Miz kid? Is this the beginning of a World Series run for the Brewers? The way people, they're talking about him the way they talked about Garrett Mitchell, who played like half a game before he was injured for a year.
Hey,
Well,
hey,
well,
you be nice to Garrett Mitchell. I would buy Garrett a Mitchell. Ticket to the stadium just to watch that kid run.
He's like a deer in a field. I said the same thing with his first couple of games. He had some home runs. He had some great defensive work. I said, this is the future, boys and girls. And then he was out. So I'm trying to cushion against getting my optimism too high on Jacob Mizorowski.
I want to hear you say Mizorowski five times fast.
Mizorowski. A good Polish boy knows his names. I can do this all day long.
And that reminds me, by the way, we're going to talk about this weekend, but I got to talk about something I'm not going to be able to do this weekend because I'm going to miss it and I'm sad about it. It's Polish Fest weekend. So if you are anywhere near the Summerfest grounds in the Milwaukee area, please go to Polish Fest. Please enjoy some Polish culture. Please enjoy some Polish cuisine. Please stop and visit my dear old dad and my family, who will be volunteering in the official merchandise tent. It's that hard structure that's now by the Miller Oasis. And if you don't want to go to look at souvenirs, you can go in there and do the vodka tasting. At least you have the last couple of years. So, split family. Some of us will be in Wisconsin Dells. Some of us will be in Milwaukee at Polish Fest.
Polish Fest, that is outstanding. I would, I wish I were down there for that. I've got other commitments that won't let me go to the convention either. That'll be going on this weekend. As you know, your lovely bride got to go first yesterday. You get to go second in reacting to the column from our friend Dan Schaefer saying, love you, Governor Evers, but you shouldn't run for a third term. And he spelled out all the reasons why. And you might not know this about Melissa Baldoff, but she did not hold back yesterday. maybe you've noticed that trait in her. I'm not sure.
Boy, you are walking me into a minefield between the hottest take we've heard on the race for governor and the personality of my darling wife, who I love very much.
You can jump right into the box with me that simply points around my arm, gestures widely, and says, look at all this. How's this for conversation? You know, because, I mean, it is. It's going to come up a lot this weekend, I'm sure, like it or not.
I actually disagree. I don't think it's going to come up much. I think this is a conversation largely happening inside Dan's head. And if Dan had a candidate in mind, or if Dan wanted to run for governor, I would take every other word of that column much more seriously. The reality is that Tony Evers is a really good governor who has earned the space to make his own decision. And there is no call for him to step aside. There is a lot of support for Tony Evers. He is the most popular politician in Wisconsin with good reason. And I just think this is all kind of silly. I love Dan. He does a really nice job. I don't think this was necessary. I don't think this was called for. I noted with interest. It's not like he quoted anybody in that story or in that column. It's not like he doesn't have the ability as a working journalist to get people to even say stuff, you know, without attribution. But nobody was willing to do that. He wasn't able to find that when he went and did, you know, had his conversations about that. So I genuinely think this is much ado about nothing.
Okay. So we'll see what all chatter comes up over the weekend, in which you are running for state party chair along with two other candidates. Can I ask you about the process of this? It's going to be an instant runoff type of election that a lot of political reform advocates are saying would be the way to ensure that in every election, the winner at least eventually gets majority support. Because in this case, you're going to have three candidates. Whoever comes in third will be eliminated, and then they'll take all of those ballots for that person, and whoever was their second choice, they'll get the votes, and that means one of the candidates will end up getting a majority. We've talked about that a lot for, you know, typical elections, but not for an internal state party election. Let me put it up to you as vaguely as humanly possible. It sounds very intriguing.
I think so, too. So one of the things that party apparatuses can do is model stuff within their organizations that could work in public policy. One of the biggest problems in our politics is that so many elected representatives can only lose in primaries. I think we need to look seriously in the over the course of the next generation. I don't think this is coming anytime soon, at how to reform our elections to make them more little d democratic. And one reform that we are seeing begin to grow in states like Alaska, in Maine, is a move towards this type of instant runoff or ranked choice voting. We also see other states like California and Louisiana, where they do what's called a jungle primary and everybody runs together, and the top two candidates, regardless of party, face off in a general election. Given the threats to our democracy, it is okay to take a step back and look at how our democracy functions and whether there are ways to improve it. It may well turn out that ranked choice voting is one of the ways in which we can do that. The New York city elections is another place where they do this type of ranked choice voting. So I'm open to it. I'm intrigued by it as well. And I do think one of the impacts of it, at least from where I sit, is that it has led to a much more positive campaign. Now, I can't speak to what my competitors, and they are my competitors. They're not my opponents. They're my competitors. I don't know how they're talking about it, but I have found that it's really helpful as a candidate for state chair to, if somebody says like, hey, Joe, you know, love you, but I really want to go with one of the other candidates, that my reaction in response then doesn't have to be to tear down those other candidates. And it hasn't been. The response has been, well, I would love to be considered for your second choice, because that may well come into play. And so I think there's lots of good here. I think you explained it fairly well. I think there's going to be some questions about it. And the state party is going to do a lot of education, particularly on Saturday, around how this is going to work. But I think it's really interesting.
I think so, too, because it will demonstrate the candidates who have the broader base of support. And Alaska provided the best example. And I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but essentially, if there hadn't been instant runoff voting or ranked choice voting, Sarah Palin would have won an election for a congressional seat with something like 33% of the vote. And instead, by the time you got through all of the rounds of balloting with the multiple candidates, she did not take that congressional seat with 33% of the vote because she did not have broad support. She had solid support, but only from a small amount. Enough other people said, well, if this one isn't my, if my first choice doesn't, you know, get it, then this person's going to be my second. This one's going to be my third. Sarah Palin might be their third or fourth choice. And so I too am not saying it's perfect, but in this particular instance, you do see who are the people that can have a broader base as their first or second choice, as opposed to, it's, you know, it's my guy or nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's look at the battle over the Trump big bloated budget boondoggle, only because of this. Tom Tiffany put out a video this week, and other Republicans, they keep saying they're fact checking that Medicaid isn't being cut in this budget. Joe, could it be that they're right and everyone else is wrong? Or is it that folks are figuring this out and getting a little riled up about the Medicaid cuts in this budget bill?
They are not telling the truth. More than 10 million people would lose health care in this country if this abomination passes. You know what that would do? Raise everyone else's health care costs. This is madness. It is not needed for any reason. But the fact that the reason they are doing it is so Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg and Jeff Bezos and all these betas who are groveling all over themselves for the favor of King Donald. I don't even like those guys, and I'm embarrassed for them. But the idea that to give them a tax cut, we are going to kick 10 million people off of healthcare, raising costs on tens of millions of other Americans, is insanity. Of course this is unpopular. Of course Donald Trump's approval rating is dropping like a stone.
It makes, of course it is, and we'll continue talking about that as well. A local update is next for some of you. Others will stick around here for a few final notes and some news. Tomorrow, we'll have Chris Taylor, a judge and candidate for state Supreme Court, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. We'll have our Week in Review panel. We'll talk to Mike Clemens with a little bit of sports as well. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletters, upnorthnewswi.com. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
as Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Now there's a new way to take charge of your blood sugar. Introducing New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula from the makers of the nation's best-selling garlic supplement. New Garlic helps maintain healthy blood sugar levels with clinically supported levels of garlic, plus a custom blend of vitamins and minerals, and it's odor-free. Take charge of your blood sugar with New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Warm weather is finally here, and so is wildfire smoke from Canada. Forecasters say we can expect air quality warnings to come and go and come again with no end in sight as fires blaze out of control across central and western Canada. Environmental advocates say the hazardous smoke blanketing our state just when we want to head outdoors shows no community is safe from the impacts of climate change and should be a wake-up call for policymakers. The EPA is pushing to end its popular Energy Star program that has helped families identify energy-efficient appliances and home energy upgrades for more than 30 years. A group of U.S. senators, including Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, is calling on the EPA to keep the popular program, saying for every dollar spent on Energy Star, Americans get $350 in savings. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Senator Keldon Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app, Matt Nair on Air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app, as Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Pat Kreitlow Mornings from WRCE, FM 107.7 and AM 1450. Today, the WIAA state tournament continues for area teams, such as in Division 4, the Middle Point Pointers. Third seeded, they'll make a third state tournament appearance and first since 2013 when the Pointers won the Division III championship. Their only other experience at state resulted in a loss in the 1983 Class C semifinals. They beat Waterloo 7-0 in the sectional final, played at Mineral Point to punch their ticket to Madison. They were the co-champions of the SWAL this spring along with Cuba City. So the Pointers playing later today. Coming up this morning on WRCO Radio, top-seeded Belmont returns to the state semifinal for the first time since 2019 and for the eighth time overall. The Braves won the state championship in Division 4 in 2002 and added a Division 5 title in 2019. They advanced to the Division 4 finals on two other occasions, finishing runner-up in 2003 and 2006. They earned a berth in this year's state tournament by cruising to a 9-2 win over Johnson Creek in the Barneveld sectional final. The Braves are the co-champions of the Six Rivers Conference this season, along with Barneveld. Ithaca's only other state experience came in 2014, which resulted in a loss in the Division IV semifinals. This season, the fourth-seeded Bulldogs downed Columbus Catholic 10-4 in the Blair-Taylor sectional final to earn their berth in the tourney. They were runners-up in the Ridge and Valley Conference this spring. Earlier, I spoke with Ithaca softball coach Brad Lewis, and we feature that interview during Pat Kreitlow Mornings here on WRCE.
We get about 15 minutes of pregame out on a diamond behind Goodman Diamond, and then we only get 5 minutes of infield on the field. So we're going to kind of time that and make sure we have everything we want to do on the field in 5 minutes.
What about the team? You've had a little time to work out and have everything settled in, and how's the team focusing right now?
I think they're focusing pretty good. I have a good feeling about them. I know they're ready. They're excited. I know they have nerves, but like I always tell them, you're going to have the nerves, and if you don't have the nerves, you're not ready to go, and keep the nerves positive. And I believe they're ready.
What about Belmont that makes them a tough team?
They're good year in, year out. They're coached well. They're confident. But they're beatable. I mean, that's what I tell the girls. They're going in. They're the number one seed, playing not to get beat by us, and we're going to go in and we're playing to win. So.
Well, I think sometimes, you know, it's nice to be the number one seed, but also it's nice to fly under the radar a little bit, isn't it?
It's nice. I love being the underdog, and I think these girls love being the underdog. You know, it was hard to fight for anything higher than a four seed. I mean, we did, but it was hard. All three of these teams are ranked in the top 10, but so was Columbus Catholic, you know, and we came in and we showed them, you know, and we had awesome support. I mean, we went up to Blair Taylor 2 hours away, and Columbus Catholic came down. I think they're 1:20, and it looked like a home game for us. Columbus Catholic didn't have much for fans, but you get that in private schools. Belmont will bring a good fan base, though.
I think there'll be a big crowd for that first game because you have a couple of small schools who love their schools, right?
Yes, for sure.
When you look at your team, what are you going to have to do? I mean, obviously, you got to worry about yourself on Thursday morning, don't you?
Yeah, we just got to make sure they're prepared, ready to go. Have all, you know, they're going to have nerves. We're all going to have nerves. That's part of a big game like this. Just hope our pitching comes, our ladies to continue to hit like they have been. They've been hitting outstanding. We started a little slow against Columbus Catholic, slower than I would have liked, but I believe they're ready.
And, you know, your team does come out aggressively. I think that's the way you coach them, and you coach them aggressively on the base paths. And I'm guessing that's not going to change on Thursday, is it?
No, it's not going to change.
You're going to keep going with that. And I'm guessing, have you taken some extra BP this week and everything?
Yes, we have been. We've been doing a lot of live pitching and stuff. We've had a couple different pitchers come in and pitch the girls to give them a different look at things, and that's been great.
Well, it's certainly going to be a great thing for the community and the school, but also it's kind of a southwestern Wisconsin thing when a team from the area makes it, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We have, I mean, you know, I'm sure we'll have a lot of support from Richland Center coming. We were really pulling that we'd have both teams from Richland Center and Ithaca there because we knew the fan base, but we would do the same thing. We'd be following Richland Center, and I'm sure Richland Center will be following us. I talk to their Jamie and Greg and Dave quite often. So
these girls from Ithaca were probably pretty small the last time the team made it to state, weren't they?
Yes, they would have been. I know, let's see, Ari, the senior class would have been probably eight years old, probably.
They probably, some of them remember it a little bit, though, don't they?
I think a little bit. I know Ari says she doesn't remember going watching, but I know she was there because I was there because Alyssa, my niece, was playing on that team.
Right. So, and I'm guessing some of those players from that team will probably be back to support you on Thursday, won't they?
I know they will be. I know Jordan Cockcroft, who led their team and was pitching, and Todd was the coach, her dad. Jordan was at the last game up in Blair Taylor. So I know there'll be a few of them following.
Awesome. Well, the key is just to get out there, and you know, you can easily say it as well. You just gotta feel like another game. That's hard to do, but I think after a certain amount of time, it does become like another game once maybe you get an inning in or so, right?
Correct. That's what we've been pushing all week, that it's just another game, even though we know it's not. But they have to play that way, I mean, if they get too hyped up, the adrenaline's going to be running. That's what we told them too, and you know, be just careful with it. So.
All right, sounds good, Brad. Well, good luck as you get ready for state.
Sounds good. Thank you, Phil.
Good luck to the Ithaca softball team as they get ready to take on Belmont. It is coming up with coverage on WRCO, FM 100.9, WRCO.com, and the Civic Media app. We hope we have a local team still going with the state finals straight ahead on Saturday. All five divisions will be crowned coming up at Goodman Diamond in Madison. It's a good day for high school sports. State baseball is next weekend, so it is that time of year, an exciting time for high school sports as they wind to a close. Phil Nee with you on this, our Pat Kreitlow Morning Spotlight from WRCE, FM 107.7 and AM 1450. Have a great day.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More than 240 people fear dead in northwest India following a plane crash in the city of Ahmedabad. The plane went down just after takeoff and hit a residential neighborhood. ABC transportation reporter Sam Sweeney has more on what we know.
Pilot had 8,200 hours of experience. This was an 11-year-old plane, and it was loaded with fuel. It was going from India to London Gatwick Airport. That's roughly a 10-hour flight, so you can imagine with all that fuel and you have impact with the building, the explosion there. We don't know about the co-pilot yet.
The police chief in that city says it's believed no one survived. American personnel and their families being pulled from embassies and bases in parts of the Middle East as tensions escalate between Iran and Israel. The UN's nuclear watchdog censuring Iran over its nuclear enrichment. Protests over federal immigration enforcement raids go on. The curfew in downtown LA remains in effect. This is ABC News.